another episode of the Divvy Crypto Podcast. I'm your co-host, Steve, and today I am joined with Tony Loriola, and he is the COO of Dan Holdings. How's it going, Tony?
Going great. Pleasure having me on.
Yeah. I'm excited to get into this. I think holding companies and venture firms are really exciting because you're able to do something that a lot of other projects aren't, which is work on multiple different ventures all at the same time. I think that's a really valuable aspect of the industry. So before we get into Dan Holdings and the nitty gritty of all the projects you guys have in the works, let's hear a little bit about you, your crypto origin story. Everybody really enjoys hearing backgrounds and things like that. So how did you get into crypto originally?
Sure. So I'm originally born and raised in Canada, but I've spent some time in many places around the world. And a close childhood friend of mine is actually where I was first introduced to crypto and, you know, at the time, specifically Bitcoin. This was early 2013. And I would say it probably happened right before the major correction or crash, whatever you want to call it, of 2013, when it was about, you know, 1,000 or 1,300, I think, and came all the way back down to, you know, a few hundred dollars, I think as low as about 250 at the time. So when, you know, this individual who's a very close friend of mine had been involved and started telling me about it, it kind of flew over my head at the time. And I thought, you know, this is really interesting, but, you know, I still don't really understand it. So I kind of moved on from it at that point, forgot about it for, you know, maybe a year or two. And then it came back and I started doing some work with this friend. And in late 2016, early 2017, started to get more involved in the space. And this individual and another friend of mine were starting a company in Dubai. And they had been living there for about, you know, the past 10 years. And, you know, they were heavily involved in the crypto community and Bitcoin specifically. So I thought it was, you know, a really interesting opportunity. At the time, I was working for another startup. So, you know, when this opportunity came about, you know, I really, you know, went headfirst into crypto and, you know, started trying to just learn as much as I could about, you know, what Bitcoin was from a technical perspective, you know, what its implications were. You know, on the traditional financial system. And, you know, as I dug deeper, as I learned more and more, it just, you know, it gave me that, you know, really excited feeling that I, you know, I thought I was really, or that Bitcoin was really onto something. And so the past 3 years from about 2017 to, you know, the end of 2020 or end of 2019, rather, we were heavily involved in the space, you know, went through the 2017 ICO boom and, you know, watched everything, you know, kind of come falling down in early 2018 and, you know, personally stuck through it. You know, I didn't sell any Bitcoin. I firmly believed in the concept and that it would come back. So, you know, I was really happy to see at the end of last year how everything transpired. And, you know, for me, it was kind of, you know, it was special because it was just that feeling of, you know, this is why, you know, you stuck through from, you know, 20,000 down to 3,600 is because, you know, you actually believe that something like this was going to happen. And to see that actually take place was, you know, just amazing. And then on the other side of that, being able to, you know, work full time in the space, as opposed to, you know, my personal investments, I guess that's just the icing on the cake because, you know, I firmly believe that this is going to be the future.
Well, yeah, that's a great segue into what Dan Holdings is. What are you guys, what's your mission statement and what is your overall goal now in the space?
Yeah. So, I mean, the major focus right now with Dan Holdings is the ecosystem in which we are trying to create. And this ecosystem involves, you know, 3 to 4 different major pillars that, you know, we as individuals utilize in our everyday lives, ranging from, you know, our daily activities, social media wise, our daily activities when it comes to peer-to-peer messaging, our daily activities when it comes to, you know, this grand financial ecosystem, whether traditional or crypto. And so, you know, the main mission statement for us is that we're building this ecosystem that revolves more around, you know, this innovative technology, which is blockchain and crypto. And so we have these multiple different projects, each one, you know, focusing on, you know, their own respective vertical within the community or the ecosystem, but also being tied in to the ecosystem as a whole and these other projects or entities. So the first one I'll get into is called CoinZab, which as of right now is a social payments application and mobile wallet specific to the African region at this very time. We have, you know, global expansion plans, but, you know, as of right now, our main focus and market is Africa. And so this project is specifically revolving around, you know, being number one an on-ramp for individuals in Nigeria and Africa as a whole to be able to get into crypto and, you know, essentially look towards protecting themselves against inflation. And on top of that, being able to, you know, exchange this value, whether it's, you know, for fiat currency or exchanging this value for goods and services amongst one another within the application. This is the main premise of what it is to give these, you know, these individuals a means in which to get rid of their fiat currency or their Nigerian Naira, for example, and buy crypto with it. Mm-hmm. And either store it or, you know, transfer it to another wallet, however they want to hold these funds. So that's the main, you know, concept with CoinZab. And pretty soon we're going to be launching one of our newest projects, which is BlockFinex. And now BlockFinex is a cryptocurrency exchange. So, you know, when you think about just these two verticals or these two pillars alone, you can see how these two might tie in with one another. With, you know, the exchange itself being the means in which you can then move in and out of different types of crypto, but not really involving at this point in time the fiat component. And then CoinZap, you have this aspect of the ecosystem wherein users or individuals can use it as their on-ramp into crypto and also be able to send payments to and from other individuals. Mm-hmm. So these are the two main projects right now where, you know, I think most of our attention and focus is. And then thirdly, the one I'll mention is TeleChat, which has, you know, kind of leapfrogged up to the front of the line in a sense. And, you know, the main reason for that, which I'm sure, you know, you're aware of and most of your listeners are as well, is to do with the fact that, you know, everything going on in the world today, you know, so many people are focused around these privacy issues when it comes to WhatsApp or even Telegram for that matter. You know, they've kind of lost a lot of steam when it comes to the privacy side of things. So for us, it's a matter of, you know, I guess leveraging the conversation that's taking place today, which is all around privacy and people wanting to take their privacy back now that they're beginning to realize that they never had it in the first place. So that's going to be a major focus for us in 2021. And at the end of the day, just trying to put something out into the world and into the ecosystem through Dan Holdings that, you know, people can believe in and people can trust that, you know, they're not being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when I saw that TeleChat was one of the projects you guys are focusing on, it couldn't have been timed any better in terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Just with all the censorship that's going on right now. I think it's just literally perfect timing and perfect positioning. So I can see how that one would be a primary focus even above the you know, even reaching outside of the crypto space besides the exchange and the CoinZap. I think it's just such a powerful example of something that could really bring people into the ecosystem. So it's really really great that you guys had that foothold before all this craziness kind of, or maybe not before, but like as it's transpired, a lot of smart people, including you guys, have gotten into the space slowly. And I think now that the rest of the world is picking up on how important it is to have like a decentralized infrastructure for messaging and social and things like that. It's just perfect timing. Perfect timing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And if you asked me a couple of months ago, right, I would have had most likely a different answer. Mm-hmm. And you know, the truth to that is just the fact, you know, that's the world that we live in today, where everything is ever changing and things move very rapidly today as technology continues to evolve. And, you know, the individuals that are utilizing these different mediums or these different platforms like WhatsApp and Facebook and whatever it is, you know, people are really starting to open their eyes and realize what's taking place, and people are fed up with it and they want something new. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, the perfect segue or medium for companies like us to jump in and try to fill that void or fill that gap. And so that's what we're seeking to do with our ecosystem, in the sense that, you know, it's not going to be just telechat, but, you know, the same credentials or information in which you're using to access telechat as a medium of messaging, you can also use to, you know, enter the crypto market from, you know, traditional fiat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that they're kind of intertwined in a way where you have all these working together. And in terms of the team, you know, with a holding style, venture firm, mm-hmm. I think in my experience, at least, it's always been a little difficult focusing on multiple things at once. So how is the team structured there in terms of, you know, the individual projects? Are there entrepreneurs that are focusing on them each separately, or is it all you guys working on all three all at once? How is that distributed and how does that work?
Well, so I guess to give more of a, or to keep it somewhat simple, is, yeah, to a certain extent, we're all working on all of the projects, but at the same time, each individual project has its own core dedicated team. And then that core dedicated team has its own hierarchy in terms of, reporting responsibilities and management responsibilities. But, you know, what you said at the beginning, anytime you're working on multiple projects, whether as a holding company or, you know, a traditional software development company, for example, you're always going to have issues. You're always going to face, setbacks or communication issues or whatever it might be. So, you know, what's most important for us at the end of the day, and most important for me, is communication. Mm-hmm. I have found over my years working, you know, and growing multiple startups in different countries, that communication is always the common denominator to the successes, that I've had. And when you have strong communication within a team, especially nowadays when all teams are pretty much remote, that's how you can really accomplish what you're setting out to do. Without that, I find a lot of things fall through the gaps, and you end up in situations where things don't get done. So for us, that is the most important factor in making sure that each one of these individual projects has their own dedicated infrastructure when it comes to the team, so that there's never a single point of failure.
Got it. Well said. So outside of Dan Holdings, you've been in the space for a little while and you've seen many projects here and there. What are you excited about? I think that a lot of people are always interested in people's perspectives, like yourself, that have mm-hmm. seen projects come and go. You're also working in multiple communities, because I think the encrypted chat community being slightly different than crypto, the exchange community in crypto being like a sub community, and then you have the Coins app, which is a mainstream kind of concept. So you have your hand in all of these kind of different communities. So what are you looking forward to in terms of the space, and what have you kind of seen as a trend that you're excited about?
Yeah. Well, so what I'm looking forward to mostly, I would say right now, is with me currently residing in North America, and everything that's been going on in the U.S. specifically, is I'm really interested to see how you know, with everything that's taken place over the past couple of weeks, how that transpires, if at all, to the crypto community and to Bitcoin specifically. And what I mean by that is, you know, obviously with the new administration coming in and their plans for the money printer to continue, I'm really interested to see how this then transpires to our community and what sort of effects it's going to have. And what I mean by that is it going to drive further adoption of, you know, not just, you know, retail investors, but these institutions to, you know, look to, you know, basically plow into crypto and Bitcoin to protect themselves against inflation. That's what I'd say I'm most excited personally for, at least at the start of the year, based on everything that happened at the end of last year. And aside from that, you know, I'm really interested to see how the DeFi space continues to evolve. You know, my only concern with that space is just that, you know, you see a lot of repetition from kind of, you know, the stuff we saw in 2017. And I just wonder, you know, me personally, I wouldn't say I'm as involved in that space. I'm more kind of an outsider looking in on what's going on in the space and how everything is transpiring. So I'm interested to see, you know, if it's able to evolve the way that some people talk about it, or if it, you know, looks more like the 2017 ICO boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people are really, really eager to see what's going to happen, and just the implications of something like DeFi are so huge. I mean,
exactly.
It's one of those ambitious missions that I'm excited that there's so many brilliant people working on it, but it's just, you know, where there's one project, there's going to be a bunch of traps that are set up. So it's hard deciphering which ones are going to be the winners and which ones are going to, you know, succeed with innovation, and whether they aggregate into one project or two or three. However it's going to work out, nobody knows, which I think is such an exciting concept. You know, it's such a cool and fast moving space.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. And I think we all realize its potential, but we're all sitting there wondering, you know, how can it achieve this potential? Because, you know, at the end of the day, what we saw in 2017 was, you know, a lot of the retail investors got burned. And what you saw was a lot of uneducated investors just plowing in, not really realizing what they were doing. And, you know, a perfect example of that is what happened when Elon tweeted about Signal. And a bunch of people went out and bought this publicly traded company that had the ticker Signal, but it's not the same company. So it just goes to show that you know, you have a lot of people that, and when I say uneducated, I don't mean like, you know, going to high school or college or university. I mean, uneducated when it comes to finance and when it comes to, you know, understanding that before you buy a stock, what should you do? I mean, the number one thing you should do is probably make sure you're buying what you think you're buying and that you're buying the right thing. Right. But what we see today is a lot of people, they just, you know, they see something on Twitter and immediately, you know, go and buy it without verifying or vetting that this is what they're actually looking for. So that's one area of concern for me is, you know, how do we, if we want this space, especially something like DeFi, which can be a little bit more complex, you know, how do we get this to evolve in a way that people will understand and people will be confident in investing in?
Definitely. One of the most interesting things that I noticed about, you know, the company, Dan Holdings, is that you guys are focused on, you know, blockchain, of course, and fintech, but you do have some additional aspects to the business that you're focusing in Africa for a lot of this with the Coins app. But yep. What are some other sectors that you guys are, you know, potentially going to be focusing on, or is it just solely around blockchain and
no, I wouldn't say solely. You know, I would say there's you know, a keen interest in focus as to clean energy, or renewable energy rather, in these types of emerging markets. And so, you know, obviously our CEO and founder is of Nigerian descent, and, you know, born and raised in Nigeria. So you know, it makes it really hit home for us because, you know, when he was younger and obviously growing up, you know, he witnessed a lot of these things happen. And that's kind of initially what drove him to be an early investor in something like Bitcoin, because of everything that he saw, what was going on. And now that's coming full circle, and, you know, he was rewarded for that risk he took, you know, however many years ago, now seeing, you know, him having the ability to, you know, not just help out in the sense that he's able to bring these applications to Africa first, like CoinZap, for example, but also, you know, trying to do his part when it comes to, you know, investing in, you know, African-based startups that are looking at, you know, different types of projects around clean energy or around crypto even. So it's a very exciting time for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a decent segue into, you know, your team. Are you guys distributed? I know now there's a lot of movement, of course, with COVID and everything going on. Everybody in the crypto space was kind of already distributed, but now this is sort of fully distributed everybody. Whereabouts are you guys based, and how big is the team?
So HQ is Dubai. But yeah, as of right now, like you said, pretty distributed. So across multiple continents, countries, and I think that's what makes a team special is that, you know, we're not all focused on the same markets. You know, I have one perspective because I currently reside in North America, but I've also, you know, lived in the Middle East for multiple years. Mm-hmm. So I can bring that perspective. And then some of the other individuals, you know, who were born and raised in Europe, but then have also lived in Asia or are currently living in Asia. So I think that's what makes our team, you know, gel and work so well together, because everyone's coming with a different perspective and everyone really understands that. Mm-hmm. Right now, in terms of the size of our team, just through the holding company itself, we're about, you know, 10 to 15 people full time. And then, you know, the plan, like we were talking about before, in terms of the ecosystem, is that each one of these individual you know, applications or entities like CoinZap and IntelliChat are going to be expanding individually. Mm-hmm. So that core team will continue to build out on top of what it is already. And that's going to build out via, you know, your traditional hierarchy in terms of, you know, your management side and your, you know, your operational and support side and things like that. So that's really going to be the focus. At the end of the day, the holding team is about, you know, the big picture, whereas these individual entities are about, you know, the groundwork and the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're going to see the ecosystem as a whole grow.
Makes sense. And you guys also have a podcast, right? I saw that was on the homepage. There was a podcast that the CEO is doing?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. At the end, like, especially right now with you know, the way digital media has transformed, is, you know, this is the new medium that everybody loves. And, you know, you have all these people who, for example, in North America and where I am, like, well, I'm on lockdown right now. Can't do anything. All you can really do is, you know, work or work out or, you know, whatever people like to do. That's what I personally like to do. But, you know, you can't really go out unless it's essential. So, you know, a lot of times when, you know, you're sitting at your desk or whatever you're using as a desk, I guess, and you spend, you know, hours on end just, you know, listening to podcasts or listening to webinars or these types of mediums where it's an open conversation that wasn't pre-decided on, you know, what the questions were going to be or what direction that it was going to go. Instead, it's free flowing and you're just, you know, going with one question after another and letting the segue or letting the conversation guide you through these topics. And I think that's what people really love is, you know, they can sense you know, it's natural and that there's truth to it. And that, you know, these two individuals that are having a conversation, you know, didn't have a conversation before the podcast, going over everything they were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. That is all the questions that I have for you. Where can people go and learn more about what you guys are doing and future projects?
Sure. So they can check out a few of our websites. coins.app, and another one is telechat.com. Aside from that, if you want to learn more about us on the holding level, you can go to dannyoyekin.com. And from there, you can obviously see more information about the projects we're working on. You know, feel free to check us out on Twitter. We're pretty active there. And aside from that, I think that's it, really.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, if you guys are listening on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're streaming this, definitely check the links to that in the show notes, everything that Tony just mentioned. But once again, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing everything that you guys are working on at Dann Holdings, Tony.